Welcome to your headquarters for knowledge and helpful advice on a variety of topics, all from trusted experts in their fields. It's time for River City Podcasts. Rita Valderez is a CPA with over 25 years of experience. She works with passionate entrepreneurs in the service, real estate, and construction areas. Her firm, Valderez Financial Solution, works with startups, franchises, and high net worth individuals. Rita, welcome to River City Podcast. As always, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Jess.
Today, we are talking about the Corporate Transparency Act. So this is a critical new act that businesses really need to know about.
I'm delivering bad news today, at least from my perspective, bad news. So Congress had concerns about money laundering and other financial crimes, and so they implemented a thing called a Beneficial Ownership Information Report, BOI. And it really is a report on small businesses or LLCs. It's pretty scary, and even if you go on the website, it's black. It is the scariest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. The U.S. Treasury Crimes Enforcement Network, what accountants call FinCEN, that's what we call it. This is about to drive entrepreneurs and investors nuts. This report identifies individuals who own at least 25% or larger chunks of a corporation or LLC, or, and that's one avenue, individuals who have substantial control, like corporate officers, directors, LLC members, over a corporation or an LLC. People always say to me, well, who's going to be able to use these forms? Well, law enforcement is going to use it, obviously. And this is the surprising thing, financial institutions who need or want to check on their customers.
Check on them.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's worded. And I think bureaucrats who designed the system really haven't thought through the whole process of the cost and angst for you and your business. Haven't thought through it.
Is there a certain dollar amount that gets triggered for this? Like if a business is fairly small, doing, you know, $300,000 a year or something?
No. So there are exemptions from reporting. Interestingly enough, it's not the small business. It's the larger business. If you employ 20 full-time employees and you generated more than $5 million in the United States, and you had a physical address in the United States, you're exempt.
What?
Yes. Or if you had an inactive entity, and sometimes people do, they keep these things forever, they never close them, with less than $1,000 of transactions, and you don't have any assets, you don't need to file. They're the two exemptions.
That's it.
That's it.
So what information does a business need to have?
They're going to be asked a couple things. For the business itself, it'll be the full legal name. Also, you have to add any trade names you use or DBAs, you know, doing business as. You have to give a complete current U.S. address. You have to tell the state or the foreign jurisdiction where you started the entity. And you have to provide the employer identification number. For each beneficial owner that owns 25% or more or has control, which I talked about before, the individual you have to give them, and the last thing is going to surprise you, you have to give them the full legal name, their date of birth, their complete current address, a unique identification number and jurisdiction from either an unexpired U.S. passport, an unexpired state driver's license, or an unexpired card that was issued by the state or locality. And then, and this is the part that I'm really having trouble with, you actually have to have an image of the identification document. So you're going to have to upload this into the system. Not something I truly would want to do. A lot of people might want to do it themselves, which I can completely understand. Sometimes people will say, well, I'll have my accountant do it, or I'll have my attorney do it. Well, I don't think very many accountants are going to be doing this for people because we've gotten alerts through our malpractice insurance that some of the things that we're being asked are really things that attorneys do. So what that means is the malpractice won't be covered if we get sued. I know personally, Valderez Financial, we will not be doing any of these for our clients. And they've warned us, and that's all they have to do. You know, I'll take heed. If you want to do it yourself, because some people do, and I understand that, the U.S. Treasury and Financial Crimes Enforcement Network has actually prepared a thing called a Small Entity Compliance Guide. It actually is very well written and detailed. The funny thing is, it's just a 2 to 3 hour read. And I think that's funny because most people aren't going to want to take 2 to 3 hours. So you may want to talk to your attorney about doing that.
Okay, let me see if I understand this. So does every business, aside from the two that you mentioned being exempt, have to file?
Yes. I want to tell you the due dates because this is really confusing. If you existed before January 1st, 2024, like both of our companies did, we have to file this report by January 1st, 2025. The clock is ticking already. If you formed your new business during 2024, you have 90 days.
Wow.
If you form after 2024, you have to file within 30 days. This is critical for all business owners. The penalties for failing to file, a daily penalty, and I say daily, not monthly, daily penalty is $500 a day. The maximum penalty combined will be $10,000. If you willfully fail to file the report, it can actually lead to you going to jail, which is pretty awful. The other thing you have to remember, and this is for everybody, even if you have your attorney do this, if you have changes of any of the information that's on there, the business moves, you personally move, whatever it is, you have to notify them within 30 days. That is a lot for a small business owner. I think it's pretty overwhelming, and I'm not really sure that it was thought through that well.
Let me ask you this. For anybody that doesn't get the opportunity to listen to this podcast, how are businesses being made aware that this has gone into effect?
Well, there have been things published. You know, the newspapers are putting this out, but if you don't read the newspaper, you're not going to find out.
Right. Are they sending out mail to every business in the entire country?
I know that you haven't gotten mail, because if you got mail, I'd get that mail.
Right.
You'd send it to me, and I haven't gotten mail. So have I really seen it anywhere? No. Mm-mm. I think what'll happen, and this typically happens when we have new things like this, usually they're pretty lenient, you know, like the first or second year, and then they hammer down. But
lenient in the sense that $500 a day won't be.
Well, yeah, and I can't guarantee that. I mean, this is the way the law is written. If they really want to take a hammer, they can. And you're going to have entrepreneurs in uproar over this. I can just see them testifying before Congress.
Right. So what do you think triggered this, and what do you think they're trying to find?
I've thought about that question. They are trying to find money laundering. They really are. You know, we do have a lot of financial crimes. If you remember the employee retention tax credits, there have been a lot of them that were filed illegally. They were fraudulent. People had businesses that had nothing in them. They would file, set up 10 new businesses, and then file for the employee retention tax credit.
For each one and take
millions of dollars. And the IRS is actually going after them. I think that's part of it, but I think there's a lot of financial crimes that are occurring. They think, I'm not quite sure, but they think this is going to be a way somehow to get information.
Well, so let's go back to the documents that you say need to be submitted.
Mm-hmm.
The information they want, again, is the name of the business owner, whoever's 25% or more.
Mm-hmm.
And they want your address and all your DBAs.
On the business itself, it's pretty simple. Full name of your business, your trade name, your complete address, where you formed your business, and your EIN. That's pretty simple. That's something IRS has on every tax return you file. For the beneficial owner, the 25% or more beneficial owner, or somebody that has substantial control over a business, the full legal name, their date of birth, their current address, their unique identification number, like if it's a driver's license or a passport that's unexpired, that's the thing that has to be uploaded. Yeah, I'll copy that.
Okay, so let's just imagine how many businesses fall under the umbrella of having to submit this information. Basically, all of them, or the majority of businesses.
I'd say that.
I mean, how many businesses are we looking at, and how many people do they have employed to actually be able to do something with this information? I mean, imagine the manpower.
I quite understand, because the bulk of our clients are small businesses, and they don't have the manpower. They absolutely don't have it. So they are going to have to rely and, again, pay an attorney to file the form. Here's what I kind of think is going to happen. They'll probably contact their attorney. The attorney probably has some of that information because they probably formed the entity. So they'll have basic information. And then they'll start questioning the client. Here's what I need. You know, and then they'll just go down through all the things that they need. I can imagine you'll have kickback from some of those owners because some of those owners really don't truly want to be known except to the IRS.
My curiosity now is once the people that are running this Corporate Transparency Act, is the government?
It's the government. It's the Financial Crimes Information Network.
Yeah, okay, so once they get that information, the information you said would be needed for this submission isn't actually going to tell them anything. So once they get that, what are they doing next? Are they reviewing like years of tax returns?
Could they do it? I mean, would it make sense? Maybe. But I think more than anything, they'll probably use that information when they are working on anything that they think is illegal. They'll probably be going into this database, if you will, and then looking at the information.
That makes sense. So that it's almost like fingerprints. So for any companies that are out there that fall under this umbrella, again, we've been talking about the Corporate Transparency Act. Most likely these penalties will start in early 2025 if people have not complied and submitted this information, hopefully through their attorney, although they can, as Rita said, do it themselves, but that sounds a little scary. It's really important that everybody understand this because even though they may give a grace period on this for a couple years,
They may not.
And that was how much a day of a penalty?
$500 a day.
A day, not a week, not a month, a day. Wow. Well, Rita, thank you so much for coming in and enlightening us about this. Hopefully everybody can share this podcast with a business owner that you know so that you can make sure that we help each other avoid these penalties and comply with this new act.
That's true.
Thanks, Rita.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to River City Podcasts. If you're interested in setting up a podcast for your business, go to rivercityconsulting.com.